Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillment of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." That right there, I could just skip the rest of this message and preach on that one verse and go for a while. I might do that. Stretch your hands this way and pray for me. I need a touch for my voice because I've had a bad cough for the past 2 weeks. Please pray for God to touch me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your touch tonight, dear God. Father, first I'm going to glorify you for the spirit I feel moving in this house. I'm going to glorify you, dear God, for the spirit I felt moving during the music service, during the offertory, dear God. I know you've done something for us here tonight. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. I magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, now pour out your spirit upon this message tonight. Anoint me, dear God, to be your vessel. Touch my heart, my tongue, my mouth, dear God, my heart and mind. And allow me to be your vessel and use me, dear God, as your mouthpiece in this service. Let the word come forth tonight, dear God, with your divine unction, with your divine anointing. Let the Holy Ghost, dear God, anoint my heart and my tongue. Let me speak, dear God, that which would glorify you and would go up into the heavens, dear God, glorifying your name, and that you would be pleased, dear God, with what comes out. Lord, bless me tonight as I bring this message forth. Let it go forth unto all those under the sound of my voice. Let them receive it, dear God. Let them receive it as instruction. Let them receive it, dear God, as blessing. Let them receive it, dear God, as learning for their lives and from cleaning, dear God, for their lives. Let it be a source of nourishment for life, soul, and spirit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and pray. And everybody say amen. You can be seated. I'm going to forego the first part of this message. I'm going to go back to what the Lord gave me on that verse. When I stood up. Right. Hope deferred. Y'all know what deferred means? Wow. Like if I'm behind on my payments at the bank,
oh, come on now.
And I call them up and I say, I need to defer a payment so I don't have to face a penalty, they'll say, we'll put that off for a month for you, Pastor. Okay. Sometimes the banks will do that. Sometimes the credit cards will do that. Sometimes the light bill will do that. Sometimes. So put deferred, that means it's moved off. It's moved out of the way. It's not first and forefront anymore. Okay. Hope deferred. Yeah. Hope deferred. Uh-huh. Means putting hope away.
Right.
If you've lost hope and you put your hope away, hope deferred maketh the heart sick.
Mm-hmm.
somebody. Y'all get a hold of that for a minute. If you get the Lord, might not get to the rest of this message. If the Lord has put hope in your soul, if he's put hope in your life, and hope, I'm going to tell you where it is. It's right here. Come on, somebody. If the Lord has put hope in your life and you defer it, you put it off, you don't feel like you got it because you've...
Yes, sir.
You lack faith.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Yep. My toes is hurting like some of y'all's all right. Amen. Hope deferred makes your heart sick.
Yes, sir.
How many times have you put your hope off to the side?
Come on, man.
And the big issues come up and hit you in the face. And you stay up all night long trying to figure out how you're going to fix it. You stay up all night long trying to figure out how you're going to deal with it. But it's almost like you decided you ain't got that hope in glory. It's almost like you decided you ain't got that hope for the hopeless. Come on now, somebody. Jesus is hope for the hopeless. Glory to God. Hope deferred. Make it the heart sick, son. We got to learn, church. we got to learn who it is that we serve. They'll fight all you want to. Fight all you want to, though. I ain't give up.
The Lord.
I ain't sitting down.
The Lord be a servant.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise be unto God.
Lay hands on that boy right now, Sheriff. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless him, anoint him, lay out the path in front of his feet. In Jesus' name. You felt that, didn't you? The Lord told me to do that right then. Y'all watch Elijah in the coming years. Watch it. Pay attention. Hope deferred, making the heart sick. If you come into the house of God, you come into the house of God and you ain't holding on to that hope. You come into the house of God and you ain't got what you think you ought to have, what you've been talking to other people about having. You come into the house of God and you've deferred. You got hope, but you're going to put it in your back pocket because right now you got that worry you want to hang on to.
Come on now.
Oh, did he just say that? You got that worry that you want to hang on to?
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Did anybody hear that? That hope. But you got that doubt that you want to hang on to. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the human condition. You know, I've said this before, but I haven't said it in a couple of years. And it might creep you out just a little bit. I watch you. I sit and study you when you don't think I'm looking. As a teenager, I used to go to the mall and sit in the middle of the mall and study people because I didn't have the best social interactions. So I studied people to learn how everybody's supposed to act. Amen? And I learned a lot more than just social interaction. I learned what makes people tick. And one of the things that people do is we always look for the extreme emotion. We live in a microwave drive-through society. You want the most bang for your buck and you want it as soon as you can get it. It's a good thing we ain't decided to put in a drive-through window at the church.
Yes, sir.
Because then we get full.
Amen.
No, we'd have a line like Chick-fil-A. But people want to. I want you to pay attention to teenagers. All right. I love y'all teenagers. This is not a throw on y'all. The teenagers, they are the epitome. They are the example. They are the illustration of what it means to want the extreme emotion. Because teenagers, when the girls get to be about 13 or 14, and the boys get to be about 15 or 16, they are all about being in love. Now this is the way it works. I experienced this myself. And I have watched other teenagers. I got daughters I watched it happen to. And I've been working with teenagers for 40 years. I've studied them too. teenagers, they like this one thing. They come in, they go, I'm so in love. They're thinking this, no, I'm so in love. I got so much love in my heart, I'm so in love. The love is beating in my heart, it's about to beat out of my chest. Now I got to figure out who I'm in love with. Tell me I ain't telling the truth. Paisley and Maddie looking at me like, don't tell that. Don't tell that. And then as soon as they find somebody that's, and they get done saying, I'm all in love and I gonna find out who with us, I can get a heads up display. They got a targeting system. And then they find that one somebody.
Amen.
They find that one somebody.
Amen.
That's ready to be in love as much as they are.
Amen.
And they fall in love with being in love.
Amen.
And for about 2 weeks, they are the object of everybody's discussion.
Oh, hallelujah.
All their friends come to them. Oh, y'all are such a beautiful couple. Oh, we're so happy for y'all. Y'all gonna get married, have children, grow old together. Y'all gonna be happy. And for 2 weeks, they are the center of attention. For 2 weeks, that love is strong and boiling hot.
Oh, yes, sir.
And then on the third week, something happens. They get used to each other. They get used to being in love with each other. And on the fourth week, they're starting to get a little tired of each other.
Yes, sir.
And on the fifth week, they miss that extreme emotion of being in love.
Amen.
They miss it. And they will invent a reason to break up.
Yes,
one of them will. They will invent a reason to break up and destroy the other one.
Hallelujah.
And then, you know why they do that? Because they're finding that extreme emotion the other way. And they can go around for weeks. They're pitiful. And all their friends are gathered around them. Oh, we're so sorry. We just knew he was horrible anyway. He won't go be a good one. He was cheating with her. He was in love with that other girl the whole time. Oh, you ought to heard what he wrote in that note to somebody else. Or no, they wrote no notes. You ought to see what he Instagrammed. Somebody else does, or what he Snapchatted each other. He Snapchatted this other girl. And oh, they go through about 2 weeks of being utterly angry, destroyed, and hurt, and messed up inside.
Yes, sir.
And then after about 3 weeks, they're like, this is getting old.
Hallelujah.
I don't like this no more. And then about the fifth week, they're like, he won't that bad. He won't that bad. And all of a sudden, they have found him again. And now, guess what happened? Oh, we back together. He done said he's sorry. I couldn't be mad at it forever. I'm in love again. He's in love with me. He bought me this teddy bear. He got it at the dime store. He got it at the gas station. And it had our song playing when he went in and bought it. Hallelujah. Huh? And the flowers and the candy. And that bracelet, it used to be a tennis bracelet. You know, y'all remember them?
Now it's a hoodie.
Now it's a hoodie. Now they're giving away hoodies instead of jewelry. Amen. Paisley's turning pale back. And then they go through that, oh, the extreme emotion is there. Oh, it's a vicious cycle. Happens again for about 5 weeks. Then they break up again and they find somebody else. And it's over and over and over. Hallelujah. That's because they're young. They don't know how to get a grip on that. But the thing of it is, we're all like that. It's just we don't show it in that same relationship. When we get older, we start finding other reasons to be extremely happy. And then we get tired of being extremely happy. We get bored with being extremely happy. We get wore out on it. We get mad at it. And we got to find another extreme emotion. And we'll pick a fight with the wife. Or we'll pick a fight with the husband. Don't y'all look at me, women. Act like you don't do it. Come on now. You'll pick a fight because... I'm sorry, Renee ain't in here because I'd have said this if she was in here too. When I was younger, when we were at a church one time, and I had to go through some medical issues, and my doctor put me on Zoloft. Now, when they dole out Zoloft now, they put it in 50 milligram tablets. But it was new to the market, and my doctor put me on 1,000 milligrams a day. And when I went on Zoloft, I became a zombie. I didn't have no emotion. I didn't care. You couldn't make me cry. You couldn't make me mad. We used to go into work, and I'd go into work, and I was working in the gymnasium with 65 children between the ages of 6 and 12, and I was the only one in there. The reason the doctor put me on Zoloft because I was working in a gym with 65, 60-12-year-old children, and I was the only one in there. Them children, they were required to call me Pastor Mac. Do you know how many times I heard Pastor Mac? Y'all seen that commercial with mama. That won't nothing. That's how come I had to go on Zoloft. When I went to the doctor, he said, "What do you do for a living?" And I told him, he said, "You got to quit that." I said, "I got car payments and house payments. I can't quit." So he put me on Zoloft. I'm going to work in the morning. I'd walk up to the gymnasium wall. I'd slide, lean up against the gymnasium wall, and I would slide down the wall and sit on the floor. And that's where I'd be when they come and pick up the children at 6 o'clock. And finally, after about 3 weeks of this, Renee said, "You got to quit taking that medicine." I said, "Okay." I said, "Why do you want me to quit taking that medicine?" She said, "Because you won't fight with me." She said, "Bless God, if I want to fight, you're going to fight. And you ain't on this medicine. If you're on this medicine, you ain't going to fight, so you're going to quit." So I quit taking the medicine so she'd be happy. Because if she wants to fight, she's going to fight. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you can't blame her. Because she ain't the only one like that. Sister Barbara, I know you didn't just turn around and look at everybody else like that. Oh, okay. Okay. Looking at Tommy like you don't do that. I know I'm all up because I'm going to tell you, if I want to fight, I'm going to fight. If I want to argue, I'm going to find a reason to argue. Because we as human beings, we like to find that extreme emotion. That's why I went into all that, because I said sometimes we put that hope away because we want to hold on to that doubt. Because if we hold on to that doubt, it'll bring us to that extreme emotion so we can feel like we're alive again. Oh, I just turned all that laughing and it punched you right in the face. Didn't I? But my Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think it is that doctors put us on Zoloft? Why do you think it is that we're forever filling up the counselor's office, the psychotherapist's office? Because we can't fulfill that extreme emotion. We live in a society now where we want what we want. We want it now. We want it last week. And we want it bigger and better than we ever had it before. Say what? But when we hang on to that extreme emotion and let go of hope, it makes the heart sick. But the next part of Proverbs 13 and 12 says, but when desire cometh, not just any desire. Because you can desire a lot of things, Tommy. Please. You can desire a lot of things. But the desire that the scripture's pointing at here is the desire back to hope. Say what? That's how the verse started out. It said hope deferred, hope put off, hope put away. Makes your heart sick. But if you bring your desire back to hope. Woo! Glory. Thank you, Jesus. You bring your desire back to hope. You know what the next three words, three or four words are in that? Five, six words. Blessed Lord. Blessed. I ain't got another one. Not to one bit. Hope deferred making the heart sick. But when desire comes, then your wife's happy. Your husband's happy. When you seek after that hope, when you seek it, what hope are you talking about, Pastor?
I'm talking about the hope in glory. I'm talking about the hope that says the devil can't have it. I'm talking about the hope that says, devil, take your hands off my finances. Devil, take your hands off my wife. Devil, take your hands off my children. Devil, take your hands off my health. Devil, take your hands off my church. Devil, take your hands off my family. Devil, take your hands off my pastor.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. I ain't got to my notes yet. Hope drives the darkness into the light. Why you gonna drive darkness into the light, Pastor? The world defines darkness as the absolute absence of light. No. Darkness is when light has defeated it. Darkness is because light wasn't there. But when light comes in, light defeats the darkness. Hope brings strength to the weakened spirit. I'm going to tell you, I came in tonight struggling when I was checking the finances today. And then some things happened after I put the math together. Some things happened to make it worse. And I said, no, I ain't telling them that. But when Sister Barbara stepped up here and we gave that call for the offering, I felt a weight of the Lord move me. I felt the Lord move. Am I saying we got that whole $265? I don't know. It don't matter. What we got is going to deal with what we need. Somewhere or another, if the Lord makes it. Because I have been on my computer checking my bills, and I know exactly what bills I owe. I got a nice little spreadsheet, 38 different bills on it. And I keep it up. I know what I got to pay, what date I got to pay it on. And sometimes I'll go in there and I'll check that spreadsheet and I'll see I owe this much money and I'll say, I ain't going to have that next week. And then the next day I check the bank and it ain't there. I don't owe it. The bill's gone. What? Yes, folks. Sometimes God just moves a bill out of my way. When I was 19 years old, I was working at a gas station making $40 a week while I was going to college. And, yeah, but that, I was 19 years old. Back then, it was a lot of money. But I had just left a job making $600 a week. But I was making $40 a week and driving back and forth to Smithfield to college, paying my tuition, paying my car insurance, buying my gas, making a car payment. And it was all I could do to make that $40 a week do it. All I could do. And sometimes mom would have to fix my lunch and go to work, go to school. And one day I got a letter from the county. And it said I owed $600 in back property taxes. And they were going to start garnishing my wages. That meant they were going to start taking that entire $40 a week till that $600 was paid. And I was worried to death about that thing. I was heartsick, and I went to work. And I hope Brother Dennis and Sister Connie are still watching. Dennis and Connie preached because I was working at the Kinley Mobile Station with William Cotton. He was the Sunday school superintendent at my church. He was my boss at work. I loved that man. He had the most wisdom. He was a simple man. A simple man.
But he had the most wisdom. And I was sitting there in the office one day, I was torn all to pieces. I sat there about 3 or 4 hours, and he looked at me and said, "All right, Brother Nate." He said, "I got to find out. You've been sitting there like this for all day." He said, "What's going on? What's bothering you?" And I told him what happened. And he looked at me and got a scrunchy look on his face and said, "Is that all?" Well, you talk to a 19-year-old boy, he never had to pay bills in his life. And now they're going to take all my paycheck, and I can't pay the bills of God. And I said, "Yeah, that's all." He said, "Son, let me tell you a secret that I," he said, "this is one rule I keep in my life." He said, "You do good to take this rule in your life." I said, "Please tell me what this is, it's going to solve my problems." He said, "Worry, don't pay me one dime." And I said, "I don't get it." He said, "Well, let me explain." He said, "You owe that $600. You're worried sick about it. How much is that worrying you going to do to fix it?" I said, "Not one bit." He said, "All it's going to do is make your heart sick." Hope deferred, making the heart sick. He said, "Stop worrying about it. God's going to take care of you. It's going to get taken care of. It's going to happen." You know what? That peace just settled in over me. And I smiled. I said, "Thank you, Brother Parker. Thank you." So the next day I got out of school and I drove down to the Wilson County Tax Property Office. And I walked in. I was going to try to make some type of payment plan. And I walked in and I got up to the counter and they asked me for my name, asked me for my address. They said, "What are you doing in here?" I got this letter and I showed it to him. He said, "Well, somebody came in here yesterday afternoon and paid your bill." I said, "Who done that?" I said, was it an older man, bald and kind of heavy?" He said, "No, it was a woman." I said, and I thought, first thing I thought was Hurricane Haysman, my mama, she lived in front of me. I said, "Was it?" And I described it. He said, "No, it won't hurt." And I thought, "Well, Brother Cockrell sent his wife up here." So I described her, "No, it won't hurt. It was a younger woman." And I was like, "They come in here and paid $600 for me? Yeah, your bill's gone." I said, "Woo, glory." I danced for a week because desire had come. And it is the tree of life. Hallelujah. Come on, Mason. What are you trying to say, Brother Matt? Hope brings strength to the weakened spirit. Hope distills the water of despair. I love this one. And brews the nectar of joy. I thought I was getting real poetic about it. Hope destroys the pain of futility and brings the birth of the liberty of the spirit. I was getting real poetic. Hope rages against the storms of turmoil and pours the waves of peace into the hearts of the children of God. Glory, hallelujah. If you walked in here tonight and you had deferred your hope, oh, he's asking me to admit and confess that I walk in here without hope. No, I am. I'm not asking you to do that. If you walked in here tonight and that turmoil was working on your peace, destroying your peace, I don't care for you, for your family member, for your finances, for your health, for your friend, for your church, I don't care who it's for. You come in and it was working on your peace. I want you to bring it right up here to this altar. Then I want you to hand it to God. And then I want you to rejoice in His peace. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Walk up here, bring it in your hands, put it on that altar. Lay it right there and give it to the Lord. And then rejoice because He's took it from us. Hallelujah. Now rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Because your hope is not deferred. Because desire has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright, everybody show us your right hand. These kids are going to lead us in the sinner's prayer. You ready? Go ahead, kids.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
He
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sins.
Raised again on the third day.
You were raised again on the third day.
Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Make me a new Christian.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, a Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.